Amen. Our text is Numbers 10 and verse 10, and I'll read it again for you. Also in the day of your gladness and in your appointed feasts, and on the first days of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be as a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God. The Westminster Brass is a quintet composed of two trumpets, a trombone, a French horn, and a tuba. These instruments are gathered together as they say in their statement of purpose to give glory to God and to encourage God's people. The Westminster Brass is headquarters at 10th Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, and they frequently play at the worship services of 10th Presbyterian Church, and they also play at various conferences. They got their start, actually, at the Philadelphia Conference of Reformed Theology, and often play at that conference, and as I say, at other conferences. When R.C. Sproul heard the Westminster Brass playing at 10th Presbyterian Church, as I understand it, his comment was, well, surely there is a proper place for these instruments in the worship of God. From this experience, he drew this conclusion. The Bible, however, draws a different conclusion. And as we look at Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10, it's my objective to help you understand the place specifically of the trumpets in the worship of God in the old economy and what they signify for you and me in the new economy. And I think the truth of God is that the trumpets blown over the sacrifice really are symbolic of the voice of the gospel sounding over the sacrifice of Christ, reminding you and me of our sins, reminding you and me of the work of Christ and the provision of Christ, and reminding you and me of the communion that we have with Jesus Christ. And so these trumpets are symbolic of the truth of God and the gospel of God sounding over the sacrifice of Christ for these purposes. And so that's the point that I'd like you to get this morning, or the point that I'll try to get across this morning, that these trumpets are the gospel being sounded over the sacrifice of Christ to remind you of your sins and of the sacrifice of Christ and of our communion with Jesus Christ. Hopefully you will see this as the text is unfolded in Numbers 10 and verse 10. You'll notice that Numbers 10:10 speaks specifically of two of the sacrifices in the sacrificial system. Look again at Numbers 10:10. Also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feast, and on the first days of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. The burnt offerings and the peace offerings were two of the principal offerings of the Old Testament economy. And we see this readily in the book of Leviticus. And I'd like you to turn, if you would, to the first chapter of the book of Leviticus, so that we can see the essential meaning of both the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. The burnt offerings, I think, were the very basic offerings of the Old Testament sacrificial system. And in Leviticus chapter 1 and in verse 3 and following, we read, "If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer it, a male without defect, he shall offer it at the doorway of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, that he may be accepted, or that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf." You see, this burnt offering, which was fully consumed on the altar, totally consumed except for one piece, which I'll mention in a moment, represented an atonement before the Lord. And the connection in the language is with the idea of propitiation. And a propitiation is a sacrifice that consumes wrath. And the idea of the sacrifice here is that it is placed on the altar, and it is an holocaust. It is a burning. It is a complete burning. And the sacrifice consumes the burning wrath of God for sin. And that's the principal idea in this sacrifice. And it reminds you of not only your sin, but the fact that Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, took the full brunt of the wrath of God for your sin. And he bore your sin in his body on the cross. He is, as the New Testament says in 1 John, the propitiation for your sins. And so here is the very basic sacrifice of the sacrificial system. And then in chapter 3 of Leviticus, you see the peace offering. You see, this was another very basic offering. Look at verse 3. Well, let's read from verse 1 in Leviticus 3. "Now, if his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he is going to offer it out of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without defect before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the offering and shall slay it at the doorway of the tent of meeting." See, here's the same principle as with the burnt offering, the laying of the hands on the head of the offering, the imputing of the sins, the placing of the sins of the worshiper on the offering, and then the slaying of that offering. Verse 3, "From the sacrifice of the peace offering he shall present an offering by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and the fat that is on the entrails and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove from the kidneys." Beautiful picture, isn't it? Not a beautiful picture. But the interesting thing about the peace offering is that the very flammable internal organs of the animal are placed on the altar. That's what's placed on the altar. And the flesh of the peace offering is to be eaten by the worshiper. It's those internal organs that are burned up and consumed. So it's a little bit different, you see, than the whole burnt offering. Chapter 7 in Leviticus gives us a little bit more information on these offerings. If you'd look at a couple of verses there, Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 9, well, actually verse 8. "Also the priest who presents any man's burnt offering, that priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has presented." Yeah, interesting little sidelight on the burnt offering. The skin which is taken is given to the priest that is offering that burnt offering. And some of the commentators liken this to the imputed righteousness of Christ. And this may indeed be a way to interpret that facet of the burnt offering. And then if you look at verse 9, well, actually, it's a little bit further here. Verse 15. Now as for the flesh of the sacrifice of the thank offering, thanksgiving peace offering, it shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it over until morning. The peace offering, you see, is to be consumed by the worshiper. Very interesting again. Here is a likeness to the communion service where the worshiper eats of the sacrifice in the court of the tabernacle or in the court of the temple. And so these sacrifices, you see, point individuals. They pointed the individuals in the Old Testament, and they point people like us to the sacrifice of Christ and the remembrance of our sins and the communion that we have with Jesus Christ. Well, there's much more that could be said about these sacrifices, but let's go back now to Numbers chapter 10 and note the times when these sacrifices were made. The text also speaks of this. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your appointed feasts, and on the first days of your months you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. See, in the days of gladness, at your appointed feasts, and literally is at the appointed times, and on the first of your months, when the people were called to gather together in sacred assembly, they were to offer up these sacrifices. And it's interesting because in the New American Standard Version, where it speaks of the appointed feasts, the language is actually the appointed times that the people were to gather together. Now, I'd like you to look at another text in Leviticus with me, Leviticus chapter 23, because it has a very pertinent connection with us, it seems to me. Leviticus 23 in the first three verses. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these." Same language as in Numbers 10:10. Now look at the first appointed time. Verse 3. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. The very first appointed time given to the nation of Israel was the weekly Sabbath, the weekly gathering of God's people. Yes, Leviticus 23 does go on to state that there were other feasts and appointed times. But I think it's of profound significance, friends, that the first and foremost appointed time was the weekly gathering together of God's people. And the people of old no doubt did this in their local communities as they gathered together. And there's good reason to believe that the Levites, having been appointed to teach the people in their local communities, gathered with the people in those local assemblies for the purpose of teaching the people. And although the scholars don't take this position, it's my humble opinion, and I offer it to you as my opinion, I give it to you in that light, that I think this is really the root of the synagogue movement here in Leviticus chapter 23. That it goes back to this injunction and to this idea. Now, you can mull that and study that a little, but I think there's a good argument to be made for that kind of a case. And so the people were to gather together. And this is exactly what we do, is it not? Week by week, we are called together by God to come and worship Him and to look into His Word and to be led in the study of His Word. And in these sacred assemblies, the people would do this. And then they would also have their other times of feasting where the sacrifices were presented. And these were presented at the temple, not in their local communities. And the burnt offerings were every morning and every evening, and double on the Sabbath day. Now, having said that, let's go back again to Numbers chapter 10 and see what else this text has to say to us. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10. Notice now the specific use of the trumpets. Also in the day of your gladness and in your appointed feast or times and on the first days of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. Here were these trumpets that were ordered by God through Moses to be made for this purpose and for other purposes. And these trumpets were no doubt long silver trumpets, and they were straight instruments with a bell at the end, and they didn't have valves like modern trumpets do. You've seen pictures of these types of instruments. And if you would curl them up, they would be like a bugle. And they were sounded like a bugle. They had notes like a bugle so that they could be sounded as an alarm or as a call to assembly, you see. They would be used for different purposes, as modern-day bugles are used in the service to arise men from their slumbers at reveille and to, at sundown, mark the bringing down of the flag with taps, you see, and for other purposes. They were used for alarms, as the text tells us in Numbers chapter 10, and to blow then over the sacrifices. You see, I'm not so interested, much interested in the other uses of the trumpet, which were several, but I'm interested in this particular use in the worship of God. And it's interesting to note, I think, that the trumpets were blown over the sacrifice. And the language is quite specific. And you can picture the priests, you see, there in the courtyard of the tabernacle or in the courtyard of the temple. And the choir of priests on one side, probably at the doorway of the tabernacle or the doorway of the temple. And on the other side, on the inner side of the courtyard, on the other side of the altar, here were priests blowing their trumpets at the beginning of the sacrifice to sound the beginning of the sacrifice. Now, I labor this point because, you see, the trumpets were accompanying the sacrifice. They were not accompanying any singing. In fact, there was no singing when these trumpets were blown and the sacrifices were carried out. The singing, in fact, with the sacrifices was instituted by David later, much later. And when the trumpets were sounded over the sacrifice, even in the time of David, they were accompanying the sacrifice, and they were not accompanying the singing. That was not their purpose. And the Westminster brass, notwithstanding, you see, this was not their purpose. And this was not why they were ordained. The question then comes as to why they were ordained. The sacrifices, you see, pointed to Jesus Christ. They not only reminded the people and remind us of our sins and of the provision of Jesus Christ and of the communion that Jesus Christ provides. That was the idea of the sacrifices. But what about these trumpets then? They too must have had some significance. Having been ordained the way they were, specifically to be blown over the sacrifice. I'd like you to look at two or three other scripture texts to help us get an understanding of what these trumpets may indeed have had reference to. Please turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And verse 1. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1. Cry loudly, God says to the prophet. Cry loudly. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. And declare to my people their transgressions, and to the house of Jacob their sins. What was the voice of the prophet to be like? The prophet was to sound the alarm among the people of Israel with regard to their sins. He was to raise his voice like the sound of a trumpet and to cause them to remember their sins before God. And if we understand this likeness correctly, it is not only to remind them of their sins, but with the negative, there is always the positive which is implied. And with the reminder of sin in the sacrificial system, there was always a reminder of the provision of God in the sacrifice itself. And so there would be a reminder not only of sin in the raising of the voice like a trumpet, but a reminder of the provisions of God in the sacrifices. And in the Messiah who was to come, and in the promises portrayed in all of the types and symbols in that tabernacle. And so the scriptures here draw a formal, I would say, comparison between the voice of the trumpet and the voice of the preacher, the voice of the prophet, the voice of the gospel proclamation. The commentators here, and if my memory serves me correctly, Calvin is included in this, draw a comparison with Isaiah chapter 40. And in Isaiah chapter 40, you'll notice there is the note of comfort which is given to the people. You see, this is the positive sign. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. A voice is calling. A voice is calling. A voice similar to the voice in Isaiah 58. Only this is the positive side. Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth the desert, in the desert a highway for our God. And of course, this is the voice of John the Baptist calling for the people to repent of their sins in the New Testament and to prepare the way for none other than Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. And the prophet Isaiah is making the comparison here of the trumpet and the voice of the prophet. There's another interesting connection made in the book of Revelation. Look, if you would, with me at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 10 and following. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet, or like that of a trumpet. John wants to know who this voice is. Verse 11 says, saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then John says, I turned to see the voice. Well, it wasn't just turning to see the voice. It was to see who was uttering these words. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man. Who is the voice? It's the voice of the Savior. It's the voice of the one who has the sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. It's the voice of none other than Jesus Christ. And when the trumpet sounds and the gospel comes forth under the power of the Spirit of God, and the hearts of men and women in response to the gospel are changed, whose voice is it that they hear? Whose voice is it that you hear? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. What a beautiful picture, then, we have portrayed for us, it seems to me, in the Old Testament. Please go back to Numbers chapter 10. Also, in the day of your gladness, and in your appointed feasts, and on the first days of your month, you shall blow the trumpet over the burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of the peace offerings. Here, Jesus Christ and His sacrifice is displayed to you. And the gospel words of explanation are proclaimed over that sacrifice to give that sacrifice its proper meaning and set it in its proper context. so that people like you and me may come to Jesus Christ and follow Him. That's what the trumpet call and the trumpet sound is all about. And after, isn't it interesting, after the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was accomplished on Calvary's cross, what is it that took place? That the appointed representatives of Jesus Christ went forth to proclaim the truth with regard to that sacrifice. And they also wrote books, and we have them, Gospels, proclaiming the truth with regard to that sacrifice. And they were sounding the trumpet, as it were, over that sacrifice. And what does Romans or Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10 tell us that the purpose of this sounding is? Look at the text again. You shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifice of your peace offerings, and they shall be a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Let me read it a little bit more literally, if I may. And they, that is the trumpets, shall be for a reminder to you before your God. They shall be a reminder for you, you see, for a reminder to you, I should say. These trumpets should remind you. They are a reminder to you. And what are they to remind you of? See, that would be the next question, wouldn't it? Well, let me just backtrack a little bit here and say something about this word, reminder. The root here is the name, or the root from which we get the name Zachary or Zachariah. Do we have any Zacharies here? Same name, same word. And the name Zachariah means remembrance of God or reminder of God. And these sacrifices, or these trumpets blown over the sacrifices, were to be a reminder. They were to cause the people to remember. The same word is used in verse 9 of Numbers 10. Verse 9 says, when you go out to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from your enemies, that God may remember you. But this is also an interesting use of the word. Does God need to be reminded of things? Does God need to be reminded that we need help? I don't think so. And the point would be that we remember that God remembers in verse 9. It's like the rainbow that God put in the heavens after the flood, and God said, I'll look at the rainbow and I'll be reminded of the fact that I will not bring a flood upon the earth any longer. And when you look at the rainbow, what do you remember? You remember that God remembers He will not bring judgment in this regard any longer. And so there's a two-way street here, as it were. And so the reminder is in verse 10. It's a reminder to you and to me of our sins. You see, I would submit to you again, as the people look at the sacrifice, it's a reminder, as the people look at the sacrifice, that God has provided for our sins. And it's a reminder, as we look at the sacrifice, that God gives us communion with Him through the peace offering. And so, the people are reminded through the blowing of the trumpets to remember these things. And isn't this the case today, week by week, when you come together, that God calls you to remember through the announcement of the gospel, through the lips of your pastor, that is, the sounding of the trumpet, you see, the sounding of the gospel, reminding you of the sacrifice of Christ, reminding you of your sins, reminding you that Jesus Christ did indeed bear your sins in His body to the cross, and reminding you that because of what Jesus Christ did for you, you have sweet communion with Him. And the blast, the sound of the trumpet call of the gospel, week by week, over the sacrifice of Christ, reminds you of these things. And I think, friends, this is the picture that God is giving to you and to me in Numbers chapter 10 and in verse 10. Read the text again, thinking of it in these terms. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your appointed feasts, and on the first days of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be for a reminder to you before God, I am the Lord your God. And so, friends, here you are, here we are, before our God. And He is reminding you through His Word and His voice, His trumpet voice, of His provision for you and for your sins, and of the communion you have with Him. The Westminster Brass, interestingly enough, consciously names itself after the Westminster Confession of Faith and larger and shorter catechisms. But interestingly enough, the Westminster divines did not hold that an organization like the Westminster Brass is a fulfillment of the types and figures of the Old Testament. They did not. They had, I think, a more biblical understanding of those figures and types. And the Westminster divines would have taken a tack similar to what we've said this morning. That in Numbers 10, the sound of the trumpet is the call of the gospel and the voice of the gospel over the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so week by week, friends, you here have an opportunity to participate in the fulfillment of the Old Testament types and shadows as you gather and hear your pastor read the Word of God and sound the trumpet voice of Jesus Christ over the sacrifice of Christ as given to you in the Scriptures. And that's the point that needed, I think, to be made. And so I say to you, dear friends, heed the trumpet of the gospel sounding on the sacrifice of Christ or over the sacrifice of Christ week by week, reminding you of your sins, reminding you of Christ's provision for your sins, and reminding you of the great communion Christ has given to you. Heed week by week this sounding of the gospel trumpet over the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we've taken some time to discuss these matters. We pray that we might have a good understanding of your word. Correct us where that is not the case. Be pleased to bless us that we might be caught up with you in the fulfillment of your words of old and be in your presence, hearing your voice, knowing your gospel and what you have done. Continue in your good providence by your pastor in this congregation, dear Lord. Continue to sound the truth of the gospel, the trumpet call of the gospel over the sacrifice of Christ, to remind us of our sins, to remind us of Christ's sacrifice, to remind us of the communion you give to us. Bless us to this end, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.